But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we just want to ask for your blessing upon this time. Lord, nothing can be done without your power, and we just ask for your power to be with us today, that you would give me wisdom to say the things you'd have me to say. Lord, we pray you'd be with your people here today. Help us to get something from your word and apply it to our lives. Prick our hearts now today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, years ago when I went to Snow College for the first time, I went there for architecture and carpentry. I had kind of grown up working on houses and helping build houses, and I had a desire to build houses and design them, and so I went to Snow College for that. I had never imagined that I would go to college. See, growing up, I was always a bad kid, and I hated school, and I never really desired to do anything like that. But I went to Snow College, and when I went to Snow College, I was pretty ambitious, okay? You see, I wanted to get a four-year degree in 3 years. And so that first semester at Snow College, what I did is I took a lot more credits than normal. The normal amount of credits that someone would take was probably 18 or less. I was taking 23 credits that first semester at Snow College. Now, that first semester was one of the hardest years or semesters of my life. You see, growing up, I cheated all through school, okay? Any time that I had the chance to cheat, I would. And you know, the first book I ever read fully was when I went to college. I could read, I could do all that. I certainly wasn't quick, and I would lose track all the time. I'd read a whole chapter and be like, what did I just read? You know, like, I wasn't the best reader. And so I come to Snow College. I have 23 credits. I have this biology class, and they have this book that's about this thick, and we have to read that in one semester, as well as all these other classes, and I have all these books that I have to read, and I was pretty overwhelmed. There was a lot of work, and I always thought that, I don't know, maybe I should just quit. Maybe I should just give up and do something else, drop out of these classes. It was very difficult. And you know, there's going to be times in our life when we just want to quit. And when those times come, what we need to do is resolve to just keep pressing forward. You see, my whole life, I was a quitter. All through school, I didn't care. I'd quit. But when I got to college, and when I started actually trying to serve the Lord and actually start trying in school and not cheating, which basically took place in college, you know, I didn't want to quit. I didn't want to just to say, okay, I'm going to fail this class and fail this class and fail this class. And especially since all my roommates were Mormon and everyone in my dorm was Mormon and they're passing all their classes. And so though I wanted to quit, I had to just keep pressing forward. There's going to be times in our life when we just want to stop or when we want to be lazy, when we grow apathetic. But when those times come, we must press forward for Christ. C.E. McCartney said this, "Between an airplane and every other form of locomotion and transportation, there is one great contrast. You see, the horse and the wagon, the automobile, the bicycle, the locomotive, the speedboat, and the great battleship all can come to a standstill without danger, and they can all reverse their engines or their power and go back. But there is no reverse about the engine of an airplane. It cannot back up. It dare not stand still. If it loses its momentum and forward drives, then it crashes. The only safety for the airplane is in its forward and upward motion. The only safe direction for the Christian is forward and upward. If he stops or if he begins to slip and go backward, at that moment, he's in danger. You see, it's a dangerous thing for a Christian to be idle, for a Christian to have hit a plateau, or even worse, for a Christian to be going backwards. And so am I pressing forward today? Am I growing in the Lord today? Am I ever learning His word? Am I pressing toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? I believe that in order to press forward, we need to resolve to have three mindsets. Three mindsets. The first mindset we need to resolve to have is a humble mindset. A humble mindset. Look with me at verse 13. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Paul, the great Paul, says, "I count not myself to have apprehended." Years ago, I was taking these campers on a hike to the top of a mountain. And I'd never really been to the top of a mountain before. I've always seen tops of mountains, and it looks very exhausting. But this camp that we were at wanted us to take these campers to the top of this mountain as an activity. And they chose me to be in the front of this. And, you know, the front part of this big trail of kids and teenagers, the front part is the fast crew. They're the ones that are booking it up this hill, basically. And man alive, it took me everything I had to keep up with them, you know. But we finally get to the top of this mountain. And when we get to the top of this mountain, the top of it is flat. Okay, I don't know if any of you have been to the top of a mountain, but I always imagine it'd be like this when you got to the top of it. You know, you'd stand on it and you could see down below on every side. I guess it's not like that for most mountains. When you get to the top, it's flat on top. And so we get to the top and it's flat. And we're higher than anything that's around us. And so we go over to the north side of this mountain. It's just probably 50 feet or so. And you can see as far as the distance possible. You go over to the east side and you can see as far as possible. On any side of that mountain, you can go and just see so far for miles and miles away. It's quite something. Now, when we decided to leave this mountain to get off it, you know, we didn't go up to get off this mountain. I know that sounds dumb, but we didn't go up. We didn't go straight. We had to go down to get off this mountain. And you see, there's only one way to go when you've reached the top of a mountain, and that is down. And you see, it's a dangerous thing in the Christian life when we've done everything that there is to do, when we've learned everything that there is to learn, when we've grown spiritually in every area possible, and we're at the epitome of spirituality. For when that happens, there's only one way to go, and that is down. Now, we all know that none of us can ever learn everything from the Bible. We can never become as spiritual as possible, but sometimes we get that attitude. Sometimes we're reading the Bible, and it's like, oh, I've read this 10 times. I've read this passage 30 times. And, you know, we kind of get this mindset of, you know, I already know what this is going to say. And we choose to really not learn anything from it. I don't know how many times I've robbed myself of great biblical truths simply because I've already read it 30 times. You know, but we can have this attitude in our lives. Oh, I've served enough. It's time for me to just sit back and do nothing. But the Christian shouldn't be doing that. See, sometimes we get this mindset, and it's a dangerous mindset. It's a devilish mindset. It's a proud mindset. What we need to resolve to do is to have a humble mindset. We need to resolve to do what Paul did, to not count ourselves to have apprehended. Because what happens when you have apprehended, when you've come to that place where there's nothing else to learn, there's only one way to go, and that is downhill. When you've reached the top of that mountain, you can only go downhill. And so the only way we can possibly press forward in the Christian life is simply through God. But when we get all puffed up and we begin sliding down that mountain, it is because we're trusting ourselves and we think we're great. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Always remember this. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Always remember that. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If at any time in our life we begin boasting about how great we are and all we've done, the Bible says that God will resist us. And let me just tell you, nothing can be accomplished when God is resisting you. Okay? When God is against you. Paul says, I count not myself to have apprehended. Remember that. We have never apprehended. We've never come to that point where we cannot keep growing. So can I encourage you to keep pressing forward and keep growing in the Lord? Have a humble mindset that there's always something to be learning. The second mindset we need to resolve to have is a hardworking mindset. Look again at verse 13. It says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. One of the biggest hindrances to pressing forward is simply laziness. Oftentimes Christians look at all that they've done and decide that it's time for them to just sit back and do nothing. They decide that they are no longer going to press forward. You know, sometimes I fear that someday I'm gonna get to a place where I've served for years and years and you know, it's time for me to just sit back and do nothing. But it's my desire to always be pressing forward, to always be finding ways I can serve, always be finding ways to grow. You know, that's going to take hard work. There's going to be times where I'm not going to want to do that, where, you know, I'm old and to even get out of bed is difficult. I mean, I'm only 29 and it's already starting to get difficult to get out of bed. So, you know, I'm in pain when I get out of bed sometimes. But when we look at Paul, he doesn't do that. When we look at the life of Paul, we see that Paul was always serving the Lord. Paul was starting churches. Paul was evangelizing people and discipling new believers, constantly traveling to wherever the Lord put on his heart. Everywhere he went, he was working hard. The Bible says that Paul and Barnabas, they were tent makers. And what that is basically he worked and he did ministry. Now that's a lot of work to be able to do that. Right now, I work pretty much a full-time job, and I do part-time ministry. And that's so full. I'm so busy all the time. But that's just part-time ministry. Paul was in full-time ministry all the time and always working to pay for everything. Paul was such a hard-working person. But when you add it with this, it's even more amazing. I want to show you some verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. And this talks about everything, basically, that Paul had gone through up at this time in 2 Corinthians. He'd been through so much more after 2 Corinthians, but at this time, he'd gone through so much. Let me read this to you. Paul says, Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. At night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils by robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Let me just tell you, Paul had been through a lot. You know, I was just talking about when I get out of bed, sometimes I'm in pain and, you know, my hip and my back hurt. I bet when Paul got out of bed, he was in pain. All those times he was whipped, all those times he was stoned, all those times he was beat. And, you know, he wasn't young when all this happened. Can you imagine everything Paul had to go through and everything he had done in the past for the Lord, and yet Paul was still serving? Paul was still pressing forward every day praying to the Lord, Lord, how can you use me? Show me how you can use me. Paul is such an amazing example of someone, of a believer who is hardworking, of a believer who's continually pressing forward. You know, Paul is one of my most favorite people in the Word of God. Obviously, not counting Jesus, he's my favorite, but I just love Paul so much. He knew so much about the Word of God. and yet Paul was always learning. We learned from Paul, and yet he was always studying, always learning more and more. So if anyone had the right to sit back and do nothing else, to just watch everyone else minister, Paul had the right. But Paul did not do that. He continued to accomplish more and more for the Lord. The reason is because Paul had a hard-working mindset. Paul had resolved that no matter what, he was going to keep serving and keep teaching and growing and leading. When I was at Bible college, in order to get your 4-year degree, you had to intern under someone. And so I interned under the dean of students at that college. And so for my 4th year at Bible college, I was the assistant dean of students. Now, the dean of students, his name was Michael Huseby, or Mr. Huseby. And I didn't really know him that well before I started interning under him. But when I started interning under him, I learned that Mr. Huseby was one of the hardest working people I have ever met. Mr. Huseby was such an encouragement and such a blessing to me. You see, this man, he was probably in his late 60s, early 70s, and whenever I got home late from work or something, his office light was on. He's still working away in his office. Now, I never woke up a single time before him as I was interning for him. He woke up at 4 or 5 o'clock almost every morning. I don't know how he did it. Go to sleep super late, wake up 4 or 5 in the morning. And then with this, he was full of energy. Now, if I don't get much sleep, I'm tired. You know, I'm groggy. I can't really do anything. This guy was like the Energizer Bunny. He was constantly running around doing all these things. And they weren't just things that he had to do. You see, Mr. Huseby, when he saw a broken sprinkler, he would just go over and fix it. Even though we had a groundskeeper, even though we had mechanics, even though we had people that would fix the buildings, whenever he saw a problem, he would go over and he'd fix it. Whenever he saw a student that needed help, he would go over and help that person. And Mr. Huseby was constantly, constantly serving. It makes me tired just thinking about it. But I watched Mr. Huseby for a year. And though I probably don't have the ability to get as little of sleep as he got, I learned a lot from him. You know, every day he was in the Word of God. Every day he was praying to the Lord. And the Lord had put him in a ministry, in that specific ministry for a reason. And the Lord provided and enabled him to be able to do that. And so I learned, you know, the Bible tells us to be hardworking. And we need to be hardworking. And if we trust God and we ask his help for it, we can be hardworking like Mr. Huseby was hardworking. Here soon, I'm going to become a dad. And every time people tell me about that, they tell me it's going to, you're going to get busy. Life's going to get really busy. Is your life pretty busy, Mr. Pastor Bruce? Yeah? Yeah, well, we're going to have one kid, and everyone's telling us we're going to be super busy. We plan on having a lot of kids. And I believe them. We're probably going to be really busy. Here soon, I'm going to be a pastor, Lord willing. And, you know, same thing. Oh, you're going to be so busy. You're going to be so busy. And it's true. And you know what? All these things are going to be going on. And I need to resolve right now. You know, I'm just going to be hardworking. There's going to be times where I want to quit, but I have a family now. There's a time where I want to quit, but I have sheep. I have people in my church that I need a shepherd, that need help. And you know what? Instead of just quitting, you know, I just need to keep pressing forward. I'm going to pray to the Lord even when there's times where it's like, you know what, I don't have time to pray to the Lord. I'm going to pray to the Lord because I need him and I need to keep pressing forward. And so we need to forget those things which are behind. We've served all these things. We don't need to do anything else. Forget those things which are behind and continue and reach forth unto those things which are before. Keep growing, keep serving. We need to resolve to have a hardworking mindset. The third mindset we need to resolve to have in order to press forward, and the most important, is a heavenly mindset. So we need to have a humble mindset, we need to have a hard-working mindset, and we need to have a heavenly mindset. Look with me at verse 14. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When I went to Snow College for architecture and carpentry, I actually went there out of fleshly motives. You see, The summer prior to that, the Lord had convicted me to go to West Coast Baptist College. We'd gone to a youth conference, on a youth conference trip there, and they were preaching and saying we need people to stand up and preach the faith. And, you know, I was convicted, and it's like, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I went up there in front of everyone, and I knelt down, and I gave my life to the Lord, and I said, you know, I'm going to serve him. But you know what happened after that? I got back home, got back into high school, and got away from all of that stuff, and I forgot that commitment that I had made to God. And so at this time, I began thinking, man, you know, if I become a pastor, I'm really not going to ever, like, make a lot of money. I might not enjoy it. I hear it's pretty tough. Man, I sure love building houses. It can make me a lot of money. And so I decided to go to Snow College because that's what I wanted to do. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with someone going and building houses, but that's not what the Lord had called me to do. The Lord had called me to go to West Coast at that time, and I chose to say no to him. Paul said that he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I was pressing toward the mark for the prize of a wasted life. You know, I was going to serve myself for the rest of my life. I wanted to do my will. And when we do our will, it's a waste. Did you know that someday everything we do will be tried by the fire of God? If the works we did here on earth were for the Lord, then they'll withstand. But if the works which we did here on earth are for ourselves, then they'll burn up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 says this. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know, one of the saddest things when I was an atheist was the fact that I had no purpose in life. See, as an atheist, you believe that you exist right now, but someday you're going to die and then you're going to cease to exist. And so in all reality, anything you ever do that's good doesn't really matter. And so I had this thought that I always tried to suppress, and that is, it's all pointless. My life doesn't really matter. What's the point of trying to do good things? You know, sometimes, I don't know why, you know, I'd do good things. I'd be a nice person and whatnot. But if I ever thought about it, I realized, you know, it's pointless. It's because I was an atheist. I didn't believe that I would exist after I died. But one of the biggest blessings of being a born-again believer is the fact that I now have a purpose in life. You see, when I give to the Lord, it's not in vain. At that time in my life, if I saw a bum and I gave him $5, it's like, man, I just lost $5. Why'd I do that? You know? But today, if I give to the Lord, it's not in vain. The Lord will bless us. The Lord sees what we do. When I choose to serve the Lord, it's not in vain. When I study the Word of God, it's not in vain. When I witness and I preach and I teach and I lead someone to the Lord, that is not in vain. And it's so wonderful to be able to go through life knowing that what you're doing lasts for eternity. Definitely coming from where I was before, because life was miserable. But I tell you what, the joy, the peace, the satisfaction, the contentment I have, because I know that the Lord is with me and I'm doing his will, it's unexplainable. I can't explain how happy and how joyous it makes me. To have this heavenly mindset helps me to keep pressing forward, to know that what I do has an effect on eternity. But more than anything, the most powerful motivation to keep pressing forward is simply because of what Christ did for us. Jesus Christ, the creator of everything, left the glory of heaven. Can you imagine how glorious heaven is? He left the glory of heaven to come down to earth. Now, I know this area around here is beautiful, but compared to heaven, it's nothing. He left the glory of heaven, came down to earth, became a man. He became one of us. You know, he could feel pain. He could bleed. He could hunger and thirst. And he could die. Jesus Christ left all that so he could come to earth, become a man, so that he could die for me. You know, I appreciate the veterans that are here. I saw a lot of veterans this morning. I appreciate that they've served in the military for us so that we could have freedom. I appreciate that. You know, but man alive, the creator of the universe, he died for me, knowing that he was going to die and knowing that the majority of the world was going to reject him. I tell you what, when I think about that, it pushes me to just keep going. If Christ did that for me, I'm going to do this for him. I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pressing forward no matter what. Marissa and I are planning to go to Springville, Utah. And, you know, I mentioned this earlier. I've been saved about 11 years now. And I've seen a lot of people come to Utah. Pastors, church planters, missionaries. And I'm telling you, a lot of them have just been horrible testimonies because they've come and they've quit. It's almost better if they hadn't come. Because the Mormon church sees, and the Mormon people, and anyone who's not Mormon sees, oh yeah, they were here for 2 years and then they left us. Why did they leave us? Do they not care about us? What a horrible testimony. And I don't know exactly why these missionaries left. I don't know if the churches that were supporting them quit supporting them after 2-3 years because they hadn't started a church yet. I don't know if they were lonely. I don't know the reason. But they should have kept pressing forward. If they said that this was God's will for them to start a church here, they should have kept pressing forward. And so it is my desire when we go there, I got to settle right now. I got to have this mindset. I'm going to press forward no matter what. When everyone around us, you know, is saying, what are you doing? Hey, become a Mormon. Oh, yeah, we don't believe that. We just got to keep pressing forward. When we're lonely, you know, there's no one in Springville that are like us and that we can really fellowship with. You know, we got to keep pressing forward because that happens. Sometimes it takes a long time to get converts. We've just got to keep pressing forward. It's going to be very difficult. It's going to be very difficult. But in order for us to keep pressing forward, we need to have a humble mindset. Look, we can't do it ourselves, and we don't know everything. We're not greater than these missionaries that have come before. But God is great, and we know that he can do it. And so we need to have a humble mindset. We need to have a hardworking mindset. Marissa and I, we plan on really giving it our all. You know, when we get there, I'm going to go door to door as much as possible, especially those first 2 years. Door to door, door to door. I'm going to try and get out in the community and reach out to people in ways that have to be clever. You know, I'm going to get involved in the community. I want to go and, you know, meet the mayor and meet a lot of the people in that town and just get to know them and constantly just be investing into them. That's going to take a lot of hard work. But in order to keep pressing forward, I have to have this mindset. Jory, you got to have a hard-working mindset. But most importantly, again, got to have a heavenly mindset. It's all in the Lord. It's all because of him that we can do anything. And I can't ever think for a moment that it's because of me that anything ever happens. So Marissa and I, we're going to be bathing this in prayer every day. And when someone allows us to share the gospel with them, we're going to keep praying for them. And when we have a burden for someone in here in the town, we're going to keep praying for them. And it's going to be a lot of hard work, but we're going to seek to do this for the Lord. If you're here today and, you know, you've thought of quitting, giving up, can I encourage you to just keep pressing forward? You know, in a lot of churches across the country, they're closing down and people are leaving churches and pastors are quitting. Can I encourage you to stay faithful? Keep coming to church. Keep serving the Lord. Keep being faithful to him. And just keep pressing forward. Can I encourage you to do that? Here in a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And I'll just encourage anyone who's here that if the Lord has spoken to your heart in any way, to come forward and make a commitment to press forward. Because, you know, if we don't do it right now, we're probably not going to do it later. But, you know, the Bible says, in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, that Daniel purposed in his heart. We need a purpose in our heart. We're just going to keep pressing forward. We need a purpose in our heart. It's all in the Lord. We need to have this heavenly mindset every day. It's of the Lord.